Okay. Go backward to item 12. Holly, can you give us an update on our triennial review, please?
Staff, I'm here to give you an update on our 2007-2010 triennial review and talk to you about our upcoming triennial review. You will have in your board package a very brief executive officer summary report from me. The primary reason that I've included it is on the last page, there is a list referred to as the triennial review priority list work plan. And if you pull that in front of you, it'll help you follow track of the update that I'm going to provide you. One of the things I really, really would like to start out my presentation with is commending your staff. The Basin Planning Unit has been a remarkable asset to this agency, and I just want to throw out some kudos to both present and past Basin Planning staff. There's been some internal communication at the state board level on things that really don't concern us here, but what I want to do say was our former attorney, Phil Wiles, has cited in some email exchange for folks across the state to look at our Basin Plan as an example of one that's up to date and is relatively well maintained. So kudos to staff. Rebecca Fitzgerald has been a large part in keeping that going. The other thing I want to reiterate is that the approach that we've been using rather successfully has been using the Basin Planning staff and your core regulatory staff and your cleanup staff and your 401 staff, all of the program staff working well and as a team and legal staff working as a team to generate basin plan amendments that are driven by staff's needs as they're working with their dischargers. It's become a little bit of an issue in making sure that we get everybody together to keep the teams going, but I do think in the long run we are getting a much better product out of it. So just to sort of set the stage on how involved your staff has been and how many of the programs have been involved in this triennial review. I'm not really sure how that is reflected by other regions in the state, but I do think we are leading the fore in making sure that we're addressing programmatic needs as well as editorial and cleanup language. So our number one priority that you assigned us in 2007 was to get action plans adopted and added for the TMDLs into our basin plan. The three that were listed were the Klamath, as you well know, was approved by you, has been through the hoops, and just finished to commend basin planning staff again. There is yet a new basin plan available for everybody, labeled March 2011. It has the newly adopted Klamath TMDL action plan and the site-specific objectives for Klamath included in it. That was relatively quick. A lot of other folks are still getting their amendments added that were 4 or 5 years old. As you are aware, we have the elk and freshwater TMDLs still pending in front of you. What I can tell you is that the elk TMDL we are hoping to bring for a board workshop, so that technical staff can explain the technical aspects of the TMDL and lay out the implementation program. We're hoping to do that sometime this summer. And then we would follow it up with some kind of formal consideration by you, and we will talk more about that approach at our workshop. Item two was to complete the excess sediment amendment. I have recently revised our web page to let folks know that I'm no longer actively pursuing that amendment, in large part because you, as part of the Klamath TMDL, adopted a prohibition on all unpermitted waste that created impacts to beneficial uses. That covers about 56% of our region. So what I am going to propose to you is that we think about adopting what I call a Klamath prohibition for the North Coast Basin or for the specific TMDLs that we have, thank you, listed for sediment or some subset of that. So again, I will bring back, as I mentioned, as I follow through with some of these other tasks, some places that we might nestle those in. The triennial review task number 3 was the stream and wetlands policy. We have not been following that as we have not been involved in that as we were previously. Region 2 is still on the lead on that. They are reworking some of their implementation aspects, and I have had a long conversation with the AEO of Region 2, Diane White. We're going to try and get the two legal counsels and the two, me and Diane White, together to see where it is and how best to bring back to you the status of it. Again, there's pieces of that that I think we can pull out and nestle into some of these other tasks that I'd like to discuss as I go along. Task 4 is a success story. It was the first basin plan amendment that I was involved in that was part of the team approach. It's the low threat discharge amendment. It sat for a very long time in front of the state board. You folks adopted it in June or July of 2009, and because of other higher priority state board issues, it sort of languished. It was, in fact, adopted a couple months ago. We hope to get it out of OAL by the 15th of May, which is, in fact, the day that it becomes important for the incidental runoff stormwater issues for the southern part of the region. So as soon as that comes out, we will also we've made a commitment to get the Basin Plan Amendment updated. There's a lot of public interest in those amendments, those action plans, particularly for stormwater, and I want to make sure when people go to our basin plan and fire up the webpage, they have the most accurate. So we're going to commit to you to have that, assuming it comes out of OAL before then, a week or so before then, we commit to you to having the basin plan updated and available for the public, the staff, and the board. Number 5 is the editorial amendment. Many, many years ago, you adopted the editorial revisions to the introduction. Staff put a lot of energy into that, and then that languished. I do now have staff working actively on Chapter 2 revisions. We will bring those to you as an information item in June. Don Coates will be presenting that to you. We'll then bring it back to you for your consideration in August. At that time, we will package it up, Chapter 1, Introduction, and Chapter 2, Beneficial Uses, and send it to the State Board. And this is a good time for me to explain to you that the State Board has recently revised their process for adopting Basin Plan Amendments. They are no longer providing staff to do it. It's now the Regional Board staff, Basin Planning staff, will be writing the notice, preparing the board briefing information, briefing the boards, answering the questions, defending it in front of the state board, getting it through OAL, and getting it through EPA. So I do need to tell you, it's as yet only the Tahoe TMDL has gone through this new process, and apparently it went fairly well. But I do need to tell you, I think it's going to add at least a year, if not a year and a half, onto each one of these already existing action items that we have in front of us. Chapter 3 and Chapter 4, I'm going to defer talking about for a minute because I will discuss those more in the very next bullet, item 6. Chapter 5 we are proposing, and the Basin Plan is currently a chapter that just houses the State Board plans and policies. We in the Basin Planning Roundtable, as a group, have decided to no longer maintain that in our basin plans because every time the state updates theirs, we need to update ours. So we're now going to provide a link in our basin plan to the state board. So just kind of catching back up to 21st century. So we don't have anybody assigned yet to work on the surveillance and monitoring chapter 6, but up to 6 I expect to have to you in the next year for your consideration, the editorial piece. The big thing that we have in front of us right now in terms of still development is our item number 6, referred to as the narrative objective for groundwater and surface water policy. This has become, just to provide a little bit of background, cleanup staff has been asking for 10 years for some cleanup language on groundwater objectives and to have you folks consider a groundwater toxicity objective. So we've begun working on that. We've done a lot of cleanup on the objective language itself. One of the big issues in this objective is a table 3.2 in our basin plan that has been in the basin plan for quite a long time, been updated somewhat, but has very outdated levels, MCL levels, either too high or too low. And what's really confusing is buried amongst a number of footnotes, there's a little footnote that says, these limits may not apply. So folks in good conscience go to table 3.2, try to do their work, whether they're project proponents or your staff, and are having a hard time figuring out what does that really mean. So we're going to recommend taking that table out and replacing it with a policy that is basically how do you translate narrative objectives into numeric limits in cleanup orders or permits or such. So because of that one change of table 3.2, we're doing a whole lot of editorial amendments on all the other objectives. So just, and I won't go into all the rest of this, but as you can see, when you touch one thing in the basin plan, it can have this sort of domino effect. So we keep getting more and more mission creep. So the objective piece was pretty clear, but as you can see, we also say in item 6, including an update of the groundwater objectives and implementation language. We're now struggling with the implementation language, which means we're going to be opening up Chapter 4, our implementation plan language, to figure out how to build in some good groundwater protection implementation strategies in the basin plan. So we're currently working on something like a policy for groundwater protection. Might have the name of something about disposal of waste to land, but it's a big product. We've got a lot of folks interested, both from core reg and from cleanups. So your staff will be bringing to you, and I'm not quite sure yet, I'm not prepared to give you a time, but hopefully in the relatively near future, we're going to give you first an information item, and we'll follow it up with a substantial workshop, board workshop, so that we can walk you and the public through all the connections and all the pieces. So as you can see, this is becoming a very substantial body of work. And as part of it, since we're opening up these other Chapter 3 and Chapter 4, I'm recommending that this team tackle the editorial amendments at the same time. So we're going to be tackling 2 training reviews as we can in as many of these work products as we can. So more to follow on that one. Number 7 is the DO objective. Alita Mengelsdorf is your staff on that. As you know, we broke it into 2 pieces, and you have adopted the site-specific objectives for the Klamath watershed. She's now investigating DO for our other water classes, like other inland surface waters, wetlands, and estuaries. We have in the basin plan an objective that's numeric for DO. DO objectives for wetland systems really don't work. So now we're investigating perhaps a narrative objective for DO. And there's a little bit of pushback, replacing numeric numbers with narrative, but we think we're going to be in a good position to explain to you our thought process and as well as make sure that EPA is comfortable with that approach. So Alita will be bringing that back to you fairly soon. She's gotten the DO sample results that she wanted from the last swamp monitoring to make her report more robust in response to the peer review. So you'll be getting that. That's already been CEQA'd. That's already been workshopped. So it'll probably come to you, one as an information item, and then right after that as a hearing item. I'm about halfway through. Number 8 is the freshwater bacteria objective. It's been a top priority for the basin planning roundtables for 10 years. It's been a top priority for your staff for quite a long time. The reason that it ranked as 8 out of 15 is the state board's been the lead on that for quite a long time. We're getting a little frustrated. They have sort of ping-ponging priorities. We as basin planners thought we had expressed rather clearly that that was a top priority for basin planning staff. It's now moved to like priority 4 or 5 for the state board, and currently the staff report is languishing on their manager's desk, and despite a number of calls, I've not been able to get it off. So unfortunately, if it doesn't move forward, we may have to preempt them. It's important for the Russian River TMDL pathogen that's coming up in front of you. So I can't tell you that we're going to just wait, because it'll affect the staff, the work in your TMDL development unit too much. So we're going to wait a little while, see if we can do some pushback and get that move forward. Number 9 is the update on fish hatcheries. Currently, we have technical staff reviewing the fish hatcheries monitoring reporting programs, and we have a report in from Tetra Tech that was under contract with EPA, doing quite a bit of the background work, informing staff of the chemical constituents that use, basically providing the background information to help provide the CEQA analysis. Number 10 is the in-stream flow objective. This piece has been incorporated into the stream and wetlands policy. It's now referred to as the watershed hydrology objective. So there's a couple of ways that we could handle pursuing that. We could either handle that considering that as re-engaging in the stream and wetlands, pulling it out as its own objective, or as part of this ever-growing basin plan amendment for the groundwater and surface water protection policy, staff has been recommending that objective would have a really useful place in that policy as well, because it deals with flood peak attenuation, groundwater recharge, LID, a number of things. So that might be another place to nestle that in. Number 11 is the restoration policy. Alita Mengelsdorf has been working on that. That's currently undergoing internal legal review. That will come to you as an item sometime in the near future. Number 12 is the mixing zone policy. I was working with a number of the publicly owned treatment operator systems, POTWs. City of Santa Rosa took the lead and hired a consultant to generate a very well done, in my opinion, background report on the facilities in the North Coast region that discharge to surface water that might have a use for a mixing zone. They did a substantial review of the monitoring data. That report has been submitted to us. I'm going to get it posted, develop a web page and get it posted, and provide a LIRIS link sometime soon. It's been languishing because I've got too much to do. Number 13 is the temperature objective. As you know, Brian McFadden of your staff is actively working on a temperature resolution policy. And the last two items, beneficial use table update and the ammonia objectives, we've not put any staff effort into to date. So those are the 15 of the 29 items that you listed as 15 of the 29 items that you directed us to work on in these last 3 years. I've given you an update of the 13 that we're actively pursuing. And I can take questions now, or I can just segue into what I would like you to consider for the next triennial review. Do you have any preference?
Mr. Norton?
Thank you, by the way. I have not been through a triennial review, so I guess I'm going to go around this pretty quick. And actually, I appreciate your update because it gives me a better idea of the basin plan and how that feeds back to all our other policy and all our other rulemaking and development and what we're trying to do on the ground. I am quite interested in many of these items. And just as an overlay here, that again, this comes back to us in June. Is that right, Holly? That we start to work on triennial review update in June meeting.
I'm hoping so, yes.
Okay. And then we reshuffle the deck, or we reprioritize, or we carry on with how we're going now, I assume.
You've skipped to the next piece.
Clairvoyant sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. And then at the same time, I just would like to concur with you. I started at least to walk into the stream of wetland policy stuff, interested in that. I do concur with you, too, that the groundwater objective is something that we sorely need to get to. I run into that quite often in my own personal professional life. And 3.2 is something that we need to get to. So I'm sorry. The next section, the next act.
And that actually reminds me. The board gave staff direction quite a while ago to develop the work plan for sediment impaired TMDLs, and I just wanted, it's a wonderful document, and it's not dusty on my shelf. I wanted to just run through table one of this document. There were four tasks, there were the four regional tasks for basin planning, just to help keep this tied together with the triennial review. So just to remind folks, the number one priority was obviously the excess sediment amendment because it was sediment impaired. It was to engage in the stream and wetland. It was to work on the in-stream flow, and it was to do the restoration. So keeping it, sort of trying to keep everything that we're working on in mind, I wanted to remind folks of that. So my thought for the next triennial review, and just to let you guys know that the triennial review is sort of all over the board across the regions, whether it's really, really labor intensive and taking staff, two or three staff, a year to work on, or there's the sort of the light approach. What I'm going to suggest to you is we take the light approach this year, which isn't to say I don't want to open it up to public comment, I don't want to be receptive, and I don't want to have you guys adopt a formal resolution. But as I've explained, we are well engaged in a number of these activities. We've been given a bunch of other workload by the state. Not only are we now asked to follow this through the Basin Plan Amendment, but what I didn't talk to you about, because I forgot to, was all the things the State Board is doing that are going to have ramifications on your Basin Plan and your Basin Planning staff. You're aware of the Salt and Nutrient Management Plan. We've talked about that. There's some potential with the on-site treatment plant, on-site systems, that we will be given a relatively short turnaround time to getting that input into our basin plan. And there's a whole number of things that actually are going to result in our tracking and changing the basin plan. And unfortunately, as you guys may be aware from the recycled water policy, we were kind of assured, oh, don't really pay attention to it. It's really not going to affect you. And at the 11th hour, we were given salt and nutrient management plans for 62 basins in the North Coast region in 5 years. So staff really has got to track what the State Board's doing. And that is a workload in and of itself. So given all the things that have fallen on our plate between when you gave us this list and not as getting far along on this list as we would have liked to have proceeded, I have a couple of suggestions. One of them would be to think about combining items where we can. The other item I'm just going to throw out there is, are there things here that possibly don't need a basin plan amendment? Is there a way to deal with one of these elk freshwater sediment TMDLs in a way outside of a basin plan? Is there a way of dealing with anything else here outside of a basin plan? So again, putting our hats on and thinking about that, given our new resource limitations. So what I am going to say, so out of the 15 items, I'm going to claim credit this go-round that we completed 2.5 of them. We got the Klamath, or actually 3 of them. We got the Klamath TMDL done. We got the low threat amendment done. We got the DO done for the Klamath, and we got the sediment piece done for the Klamath. So while we've broken them up into little bits and pieces, we've actually accomplished a fair amount of work, and I am really proud of the board and the staff and the public for helping us get there. So there's obviously some things that can be stricken off this list. There's some combining that can be doing, and then there's obviously that's the board's priorities to help us refocus which of these things, in your view, should we really be focusing on. So that's what I would propose to bring back to you in June, is a proposal that we basically focus on these issues that are in front of us. I have been given some very thoughtful letters about things that we should include. For example, the city of Healdsburg is concerned about data in Table 3.1. I'm prepared to write a write-up on all the issues that have come to my attention since then so that you're aware of them. but I'm still going to recommend that you allow us to move full steam ahead with the items that we have in front of us. So that's in a nutshell what I have that we have accomplished and that I hope we can accomplish in the near future.
Great. Thanks, Holly. You know, going down through the list that you did and gave us updates on what everybody's been working on and recognizing there's been a lot of effort that's gone into those and progress made, we still have the flip side here, items 16 through 29. And have any of those changed in the last 3 years of our triennial review process? Has anything sort of elevated in priority? Or are there any blinking lights on here that we may need to consider for, you know, either for internal reasons, external reasons, State board pushing in certain directions? Is that something that, as you would give us a proposal or maybe thinking forward to that, is there anything that here that we may need
that
to
jumps right out at
yeah.
me? Yeah, there's number 22, on-site wastewater policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes, that, yep. And that's exactly the point, is how do we nestle the state board? They're going to give us, and it just from, you know, internal dialogue, it looks like a relatively short time period. I don't know that they've ever actually gotten a basin plan through, but in that short a time period. But yes, there are intersections where we've been given direction from on high.
Do you see our list of high priority just getting longer, so we're elevating the status of other things to high priority and not, I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense to take some of these that we've been working on and have been on our high priority list and bumping them down a notch just to lose the momentum there. So if anything, it's just increasing the intensity of the workload that you already have.
Exactly.
So
yes.
The board recognizes that.
Thank you. Thank you. And we will no longer refer to these as priorities because they are all high priority. If they make it on the list, it's a priority, and it implies
right.
a judgment. So we're going to just make it clear we're ranking them by criteria. And it just, it's sense, people have been sensitive about why is mine such a low priority?
Is right.
You don't have the resources. It's not a low priority.
It's on the list.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Any other board member questions? Mr. Corbett.
Well, I had comments. First of all, thank you for the report back on what's been accomplished and what hasn't. And certainly, I think the direction for the board for some time was finding out-of-basin plan solutions. And I think sediment would be a great example where we decided custom sediment waivers by industry type and sometimes industry type and geography was very helpful to fill in and was a quicker, better, more refined response than on the basin plans. So I think we've sort of laid that path out, and I'm almost worried about the staff time to do the outside fillers. And then there's the tension between general regulations and basin plans, and of course TMDLs were supposed to be site-specific and got back to really where the Port of Cologne Act did. So it is a delicate balance, and we're trying to find efficient ways for you to operate on that. I do think, in a way, it sounds like only one thing on the Klamath, but that's 50% of the board. And I do think it's wise to get one TMDL, if there's a critical one, still in the process so that we don't totally turn our back on that watershed basin planning, but it's got to be manageable and within the terms here. I did want to, for myself, think the number 9 needs to keep moving.
I think, number 9, the hatcheries.
Yes. I feel we've been living on borrowed time for almost 2 years, and it would be wise to keep that moving and complete that process. And I had heard from Fish and Game that they thought they were erroneous in their testimony before us at one point in time that it didn't need to be hurried up. I think that was not cleared by Sacramento. The second thing is on the wetland, which is being handled by the state, and that's fine, and that's great. Typically, challenges the North Coast region have had on other agencies on statewide wetlands are really threefold. First of all, the definition of wetland, and last I looked, it was pretty darn good, but we have a high water table, a lot of rain, and you have to make sure that the entire North Coast doesn't end up a wetland. So taking the care and tracking that at the state level. The second is California statewide, and there'll be examples here, needs dike repair, and that sometimes gets forgotten in wetland policies, and so you got to have some way that the policies aren't so restrictive that you can't repair the dikes. And then lastly, how you treat former diked wetlands is critical on the North Coast. For example, the Coastal Commission considers those wetlands. The people, let's say, operating a dairy farm considers them dairy land. So that has to be really honed in and well thought out in a statewide policy. And then I'll just send you the rest because I could go on. But, but I think those are some big ones.
Okay, thank you, John.
Mr. Chair, Holly, can you give an estimate of the amount? I mean, you're saying that maybe it's a year to a year and a half delay because of the services essentially to us that the state board was providing in terms of staffing and clarifying things. How, obviously, a year and a half on a three-year triennial review is going to really gum the works up. Can you give us an estimate of what that will do, particularly in a cumulative sense, if we do two, three, four cycles of this?
I hate to be negative, but unfortunately, when you write a work plan, you have to tend towards the negative. And I really think there's a possibility, especially since we've got so much momentum behind us now, that I could, theoretically, I could have Alita doing nothing but working on getting the DO and possibly the restoration thing, the restoration policy through, so she will be working on nothing else for a year. So that, Lauren, the same, I mean, each one of my staff, each one of your staff, each one of our staffs who gets something through to you, used to be we just had to get the administrative record together, then we moved on to the next thing and made sure we had a week or so to be available for the state board staff, to be available for briefings and such and such. Now it's going to be really, really difficult. Perhaps I'm being too negative. I'm just concerned with making sure that once we get something scheduled on the state board, it doesn't get bumped by other higher priority things. And it's, I don't know. It's a work in progress. It's a little early. Like I said, we've only had one thing that's gone through. It's only gone through the state board. So we don't know how EPA is going to like working with all the individual regions. We don't know how OAL, we've been warned by the program manager at State Board, don't you make OAL mad. You know, it's taken me 20 years to get a good relationship with them. So we have a lot of, we got to kind of tiptoe in. But you won't see me again as lead recommending anywhere near us working on 15 items. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. Five, maybe. And that's just, then that was just an off the top of my head. But it's really hard. I mean, each staff likes two things to be working on so that they can don't get bored. And then if, you know, Alita with the DO was waiting for, you know, her monitoring results, she had something else to work on. But again, I think the bottom line is I will recommend that you guys consider five, six items.
Thank you.
Well, knowing that, and as a follow-up to that, Holly, I would be interested in June then to hear if we're going to go for the gold on five, then how do we combine and become efficient and to get, because I think there is natural synergy in many of these things. They overlap. They are intertwined. I would be interested to hear from you and your staff in a June meeting about how we get to that. If we're going to go for five, and that's the reality of it, and if we got to walk it all the way through the state system, then we should do five really well, and we should get the efficiencies and get the maximum amount we can get with your and your staff's time. Because as I see, you know, I see PYs here, and you start doing the math, and it's a bit daunting to think that we get through this stuff in a reasonable time period. It's going to come back around in 3 years, and we're still going to have 30 or 130 things on our list, and that is the nature of the beast. But at the same time, how do we get I agree with you, by the way, that some of this stuff and your successes are rather large and they're not to be downplayed. As an agency, the Klamath TMDL and some of the others that we, I say we, accomplished in the last 3 years are big. And so maybe that's the way we do it. We have to get super efficient and focused and go for five. But if we go for five, I'm interested to hear in June from you and your staff about how we do that.
Our recommendation.
Absolutely.
You will get it.
Thank you, Holly.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Holly.
Thank you.